The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised. Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.
Smart, sexy, kinky, fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Happy Halloween. Thanks for spending a little bit of it with me. That's right. We are actually live today on Halloween. And that means that you can call us, win prizes, and speak your mind. You can call us at 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. Or send us a tweet at Sex Out Loud Radio or go on Facebook.com/AskTristan. Okay, a few updates. First, I want to give a shout out to the Sex Out Loud listener who drove from Cleveland to come see me speak at Kent State on Monday. That was awesome, dude, and I hope you got a good picture. I will be lecturing at Bucknell University in Pennsylvania this coming Monday, November 3rd, and then I'm going to Baltimore November 10th to the 12th. I'm teaching at Sugar, I'm lecturing at Goucher College, and I'm appearing as the guest sexpert in Foreplay, Baltimore's live comedy show about sex. You can go to puckerup.com and click on tour for all the info for all of those events. I want to remind you that right around the corner, November 4th, is the deadline for submissions for CatalystCon East. So if you want to present at CatalystCon East, which happens in the Washington, D.C. area, March 27th to the 29th, go to CatalystCon.com, find out everything you have to do, and you have to get your things in by November 4th, which is literally right around the corner. Okay, I'm going to remind you one more time of our phone number because I know you're going to want to call. I know you are. 866-472-5788. I have always envisioned this show to be about important conversations that aren't happening elsewhere in the media. There is arguably no topic more controversial and divisive in the United States than abortion. And that is what we are talking about today. As many of you know, there's been an unprecedented wave of state-level abortion restrictions kind of sweeping the nation over the past few years. This has been one of the biggest issues in politics, especially on the state level. In 2013 alone, 22 states enacted 70 anti-abortion measures, which include things like bans on insurance coverage and pre-viability medication abortions. But 2013 wasn't even the year with the biggest number of restrictions. 2011 actually had 92 state-level abortion restrictions enacted, and there were 43 in 2012. So far this year, 2014, 13 states have adopted 21 new restrictions designed to limit access to abortion. And listen, people, Election Day is next week. So for everyone's sake, please, please vote. This is not the big presidential election, but this can determine how women are treated in the future in your state, in your county. It's important. I want to begin with some facts based on research, which I think need to be constantly reiterated because so much of what we do hear about abortion, especially in the media, is often emotionally manipulative, or it's just political rhetoric, or it's just a straight up lie. So let's start with the facts, shall we? About 2% of American women aged 15 to 44 had an abortion in 2008. So that's like the yearly figure. One in three women will choose abortion in her lifetime. 6 in 10 American women having an abortion already have a child, and more than 3 in 10 already have 2 or more children. More than 9 in 10 abortions occur in the first 12 weeks of pregnancy. 87% of U.S. counties do not have an abortion provider, and 35% of women aged 15 to 44 live in those counties. We're going to talk to someone who really brought this issue to a personal level, but it ignited an international discussion. Emily Letts currently lives in Chicago. In addition to her work with the shame-busting organization Not Alone, she's currently working on a dual master's in public health and social work at the University of Illinois at Chicago with a concentration in women's health. She became known worldwide when she posted a video of her own abortion online. It went viral, and by now it has something like 4 million views. With that video, she won the Judge's Choice Award in the Abortion Care Network's first abortion stigma busting video competition. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Emily.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
So I think one of the first parts of your story that is really compelling is that you have this sort of built-in irony, which is that you were an abortion counselor when you went and had an abortion.
Yeah.
And your interest in becoming an abortion counselor, I read, came about actually from your interest in birth. So tell me more about that.
Yeah, well, actually, and how, you know, to take one step back, my interest in birth came because I was actually a professional actress for about 5 years. And through that experience, I began to realize exactly how caustic the media's portrayal of women is to society, in terms of how we look, how we act, and so on and so forth. And I went through a lot of shame around my own body. And so in order to counteract that shame, I started learning about my own body. And through that, I became what is fondly called a birth junkie, which is where I went to a doula training, and I started learning about the functions of my breast, the functions of the fat that sits above my pubic area, things that I had previously hated. And I started taking pride in them and realizing that my body is the way it is to create life, and that's powerful and sacred. And so I became obsessed with women's bodies and obsessed with supporting women and learning about birth. And there was also a lot of shame in birth and hospital birth versus stay-at-home birth. And then from there, I actually just wanted to volunteer at the clinic. So I sent them a letter like, hey, can I volunteer? And then they just came back with, why don't you just interview to be a counselor? And it was perfect.
And so, you know, after you'd been a counselor for a while, you found yourself pregnant. Mm-hmm. You made the decision to have an abortion and then film it and put it online.
Yeah.
So we have a clip from this viral video, this movie that you made. Let's take a listen.
It is about a month and a half after the procedure now. I feel like I talk to women all the time and they're like, of course everyone feels bad about this. Of course everyone's going to feel guilty, as if it's a given how people should feel about this, that what they're doing is wrong. I don't feel like a bad person. I don't feel sad. I feel in awe of the fact that I can make a baby. I can make a life. I knew that what I was going to do was right. Because it was right for me and no one else. I just want to share my story.
So the entire film is a little more than three minutes. And when I watch it, you seem pretty upbeat in it. You also seem to have a high pain tolerance. Just a thought.
Yeah.
Because you never scream or anything. You just kind of breathe through the pain in a very zen way. All the nurses and support people around you are very present for you. And of course, you got your abortion at the clinic where you worked. So you had this probably extra level of support that not everyone has. Mm-hmm. And it feels quite brief and kind of like any outpatient medical procedure. So I want to know, if that was your intent. When you were going into this thinking, I'm going to film my abortion, what were some of your motivations?
Well, I mean, the truth is that women, when I counseled women for over 2 years, and I kept hearing women say, I feel guilty for not feeling guilty. Something's wrong with me. I'm not a decent person. I'm not a good mother. I don't feel guilty. And they would try to force themselves to feel guilty because that is what society says that we have to do. And this boggled my mind. Why are we doing this to ourselves? And women do this in all areas of our lives, not just around reproduction. And so for me, when I found out I was pregnant, I realized that this was an amazing opportunity to say that, hey, I don't feel ashamed of what I'm doing, and that actually it was a very empowering process. Because I had studied birth for so long, you talked about my pain tolerance. I used a lot of the same techniques that I learned through being a doula, in terms of my coming and releasing my muscles and envisioning and all these things. And so I wanted to show women, hey, this is what it could look like. This is what it could look like if you are compassionate with yourself, if you are surrounded by people who understand you and do not judge you and support you and help you with your decision. This is what it looks like to it was a privileged experience because I got to choose who I wanted in the room with me because I work there. And so I just wanted to say, we've seen what the negative side of abortion looks like. I mean, we've seen all of the media stories where women die and women have illegal abortions. I think it's important for us to get the full spectrum. And this is what a good, healthy, empowered abortion looks like.
Okay. That is a great introduction to what we're going to be talking about tonight. And we already need to take a break because we have to pay the bills around here. We're going to take a break and hear from our presenting sponsor, Good Vibrations. Remember, everyone, if you love this show, show some love to Good Vibrations, which has been supporting it for more than a year. Go to goodvibes.com and use the coupon code Tristan for 15% off your order. Stay with us. More about Emily Letts, her own abortion, and some of the bigger issues this entire thing raises. Don't go anywhere.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than 3 decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at 6 retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning Expert Guide Sex Education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud today. We are talking with Emily Letts, who has become quite infamous on the internet for filming her own abortion and then posting the video online. Emily, I understand from reading interviews and reading about your story that this did feel empowering to you and that it did feel positive and you didn't feel shame. Did you afterwards feel any grief or other negative feelings at all?
In terms of the abortion,
yeah.
No. If anything, I actually said this in the original Cosmo article that came out, is that I have a really intense connection with the feet of the, it was probably like an embryo, and I actually have the ultrasound and I framed it and it's in my bedroom and I only feel positive things towards it. It wasn't meant to be for me to have that child, but it's still a part of me and it's still something sacred that my body produced. And that's my way of finding closure and my way of finding peace with my decision. That might not work for everyone. Everyone has their own process. But that's more of what I felt. Like I said in the video, I feel in awe of the process. And if one day I find the correct partner or the right time in my life, I'll be thrilled to go through the entire thing.
And do you feel like having an abortion yourself changed the way you then went on to counsel others? Like, is there new insight that you got, that you gained from having the experience?
Absolutely. I think it's more about the medical aspect of it, not necessarily the emotional. The emotional aspect was pretty dead on of what I'd been counseling women beforehand. But in terms of when I realized I had, and this is kind of why I wanted to make the videos, because when I realized I was getting an abortion, part of it was that I could connect with women more in terms of, oh, actually, when you get the injection of lidocaine into your cervix, it feels like this. So what I said it feels like, it kind of feels like a small bee sting, or actually like a small electric shock, you know, a static electric shock. And you just kind of, it's like a zip, and that's it, and then it goes away. These are kind of details that help calm a woman and give her the full picture so that when she goes into the operating room, she feels more prepared.
I want to remind everyone that we're live, and I know we're talking about a very sometimes difficult thing to talk about, but I want you to call us if you're ready to call us, 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. Emily, your video got it's up to like 4 million views. And it also then spawned lots and lots of, as you could imagine, responses. Some of those responses were in the form of other videos. Some of them were in the comments section of both YouTube and also the articles that came out at the time, the media coverage of this. It can be quite intense. I mean, intense isn't even the word. It can be a little horrific to read these comments. They're really, really mean. Someone called you in one video a vicious draconian reptile, which, by the way, I think perfect Halloween costume for you next year. Oh, vicious, man, vicious so draconian reptile, right? You could put that together in a snap.
That's so good.
And there was a lot said about you. And of course it's all directed at you. This is no longer just like what I think about abortion. This is like what I think about Emily Letts and right. Emily Letts's abortion. Monica Migliorino Miller of Citizens for a Pro-Life Society argued that your baby was absent from the video, therefore the video was dishonest. What do you make of that critique?
Well, the thing is that when I think about abortion, I think about the woman's experience. Now, if a woman wants to call her 5-week old pregnancy a life, then it's a life. If she doesn't believe it's a life, it's not a life. So in my experience, I did not believe that it was a life, that it was an actual human being. And so I think that it's just a totally different perspective. When you read the Cosmo article, I do talk about that, the ultrasound, and that is my connection. And so I approach abortion completely through the woman's perspective. I use her language and her religious affiliation. I use that to counsel her. So I just don't think that one size fits all in this case.
And in general, what do you think of all of these negative and often, quite frankly, cruel and hate-filled responses to you?
Well, what I've learned throughout life in general is that hurt people hurt people. And so when I am talking about shame on a woman's reproductive system, that there's shame in birth, shame in motherhood, infertility, miscarriages, abortion, you name it, there's shame around a woman in a reproduction, is that people who go and try to lash out to other women and try to hurt them because of their choice, once you follow that thread back to the person who's lashing out, you realize that that person is only lashing out at their own shame and at their own hurt. And so, you know, I went and I talked to a lot of these people who are saying negative things about me. And when you start to dig, you start to realize that there are wounds there that have festered because of this silent stigma and shame in their own lives. And so I don't fight fire with fire. I realize that all of these people who are being negative and cruel and mean, it's really just a reflection of their own pain.
You know, I was interested to see that even some pro-choice people criticized you. So in the UK, Dina Rickman in The Telegraph, who calls herself passionately pro-choice, wrote the following, quote, "I'm not denying there are still many things we need to demystify. I just don't think those conversations should involve YouTube. For me, Emily Letts' video just shows there are some taboos we don't need to break," end quote. What do you think about this notion that this is a private matter that we should not be talking about in public?
So there's a difference between secrets and privacy. Sometimes, and the gay rights movement has showed us, and which they're doing phenomenally right now, is that we have to share our secrets in order to gain the privilege of privacy. Right now, the pro-choice movement is losing. We have, in the last 2 years, more anti-abortion bills have been past than in the last 10 years. We're getting to desperate times, and so now we don't have the people who have the secrets, who are comfortable and are privileged like I am to feel supported. We need to start sharing these stories. We don't have room for any more taboos in this. We need women to know correct information. We need women to feel supported. We need them to have the resources. We need to have the safe, accessible health care. And so I completely deny that. And I think that sort of mentality is why we're here, where we're at 40 years after Roe versus Wade.
I mean, it reminds me of this. It reminds me of what people say about sex. I mean, exactly. You know, in sex education, it's like, well, sex is a private thing. We don't need to be talking about it in schools. We don't need to be having public discussions about it. You know, and I feel like that is a way to just shut down the conversation. It's literally a way to say, I'm not comfortable talking about this, so let's call this private.
Absolutely. And it's not private, it's secrets. And secrets have to do with shame. And we, and secrets, it's more about silencing than it is about respecting.
Yeah. And it's not private because there's legislation that actually controls how women have access to abortions state by state. So there are legislators having these conversations and writing this legislation, which is not private.
Yeah, and most of these legislators are men, and they have yet never talked to a woman who's gone through the experience of abortion, let alone, I would be interested in all of these men, like if they all got pregnant, went through an abortion, has healed, like, okay, let's talk about this. Let me hear what you have to say about this legislation. But the fact is that we're having forced waiting periods, like the 72-hour waiting period, forced mandatory ultrasounds, vaginal ultrasounds. I mean, we're getting to a spot where we really need to find new tactics.
And that reminds me of one of the response videos to your film was from a sort of young anti-choice guy who called you all sorts of names and, you know, questioned your sanity, et cetera. And it was, I mean, it was hard to watch. This is just this young guy who's like, no, Emily, let's, you know, I mean, it was, wow. So I think it's fascinating though, to me that all of these politicians are able to talk about this with sort of such, you know, intensity behind them. It's as if they don't know anyone who's ever had an abortion, which seems impossible given the statistics.
Absolutely. But that's only because women who have abortions have been shamed into silence. And that's actually why I started a campaign called NotAlone.us, which encourages and supports women to share their abortion stories through online videos. So the fact is, and this is why I absolutely disagree with the woman who you just referenced, because the pro or the anti-choice movement have been using the internet and online videos and graphics beautifully for the last 20 years, and they're doing a great job at shaming women. Now we need to take these same tools and help women share their stories in order to destigmatize our reproductive choices. And that's why, and that's exactly what I'm trying to do through NotAlone.us. So if you go to that website, you'll see about 30 or plus stories of women going in and saying publicly through online videos, this is my abortion experience. Maybe you can relate to this.
Yeah, I mean, that is the flip side of that, which is that the amount of positive reactions to your video and what it has catalyzed and just the conversations it's you know brought up has really been overwhelming. I mean, did you expect in a million years it would get this big?
No, not at all. It's funny. One of the things that people accuse me of is doing this on purpose.
Or faking. There's also some, you know, there's some conspiracy theories out there that you faked your abortion. That was my other favorite one.
Yeah, those are cute. But exactly. And so in terms of like, I'm doing this on purpose or I'm doing this for Facebook likes or something of that nature. And in reality, it's no, this is just me taking a step forward, sharing my story and listening and gathering all the women. I got thousands. I'm going to go ahead and say, I'm going to say at least 1,000 of messages from women. I mean, I get maybe about 20 per day of them saying, I saw your abortion and I just had an abortion and this is how I feel and I need help. Or hey, I'm bleeding a lot. I don't know who else to turn to. I just saw your video. Maybe you can you help me? Is this normal? I mean, I'm counseling, spending like hours a day counseling women, but that's because no one else is talking about this very important subject. 1 in 3 women are going through this and they feel completely isolated. Wouldn't it just make so much more sense if everyone could talk about their experience and everyone could support each other?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's, you know, that is the silver lining in all of this is that we're now having these conversations. We've got to take another break, hear from our great sponsors, but I want to talk more about your work with Not Alone and, you know, this growing movement now of people really refusing to be silenced around this particular topic. So Absolutely. Stay with us, folks. Don't go anywhere.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423. Or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Sportsheets is the sex toy company that's been keeping couples connected for over 20 years. Their fantasy restraint and sex toy products redefine sexual adventure. From bondage and sexual positioning to strap-ons and role play, Sportsheets makes a toy for everyone's taste and budget. So go treat yourself to something from Sportsheets, available wherever great sex products are sold.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We're talking today with Emily Letts, the young woman who filmed her own abortion and put it online and started an international conversation. We're also live today, and you can call us at 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. You can tweet us at Sex Out Loud Radio. I'm interested to hear what you all quiet little listeners out there think about all this. If you don't have questions, you can have comments. So in spring of 2014, Emily, you joined Sherry Matisoff Murfish and her daughters Beth and Brett at this project, notalone.us. Tell me how this website came to be and what the mission is.
Oh man, it's social media at its finest. So what happened was before Cosmo picked up my story, I was desperate to get it out into the media because I just felt like I need women to see this. I need people to know that they don't have to feel guilty and that there exists a positive abortion story in the world. So I was like, New York Times, I want to give it to the New York Times. So I typed in abortion in New York Times website, and Beth Murfish wrote an article called My Mother's Abortion about her mother, Sherry's abortion. And so I found her, and I found her on Facebook, and I sent her, I was like, hey, can you help me? And she's like, yeah. Well, so we launched it to New York Times turned it down, but then she was like, hey, you know, we got a ton of responses from our article in the New York Times, and we're thinking about creating this campaign. Do you want to join? And I was like, yes. And then the beautiful relationship has blossomed from there. Not alone, like I said before, supports and encourages women to share their abortion stories through online videos in order to destigmatize abortion. So what we believe is that because of all of the scary legislation that's being passed, we need to start telling our personal stories. It's the only way that we're going to change the tide of shame and stigma around our reproductive decisions is by showing, hey, one in three women, which means most of the voters. And it's been going wonderfully. I encourage everyone to go check it out.
notalone.us. That's where you can see it. Tell me the significance of video in this whole scheme of things, because you could have had a website where people, for example, posted written stories anonymously.
Yeah. Well, we actually do have a part of the website that is for written stories. The thing is that it's really powerful to see and hear a woman and men. We actually do have men submit videos as well through their experience with abortion with a partner. But to be actually see their face, we believe that if you submit a story anonymously, you're sort of giving into the stigma of what you've done. It's this is unsafe, this is something shameful, people will judge you if they find out it is you. So therefore, we are trying to create a community where people are standing proudly, their identities stand proudly next to their life decision, saying, hey, this is what I did, I'm okay with it, it was hard or it was not hard, but I'm still here and I don't regret it.
And by the response, do you think we're all ready to do that?
You know, I don't think that sharing abortion stories publicly or through online video is for everyone. I think that it's for the pioneers, the people who have gotten to the place of feeling comfortable with their decision. You know, the thing about abortion is that it's an extremely emotional topic. It doesn't even have to be controversial. It is just emotional. Some women go through years of a grieving process, which is completely valid and needs to be supported, which is why they need to be able to talk about it in the first place. So the shame doesn't allow women to grieve appropriately. And so, you know, some women do face real consequences about sharing their stories publicly. And we want to support these women and give them counseling, but it might not be the best thing to share it publicly through online video. So we are looking for that percentage of the population who is in a safe, comfortable place to share.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and that's a good point that some people can do it in different ways. Mm-hmm. I mean, someone could be inspired to tell their story to their circle of friends.
Absolutely.
Which is not putting it on the internet, but which is speaking it out loud and to people who probably didn't know about it. And that alone can have kind of a ripple effect.
Absolutely, which is why we're hoping with each video, I mean, you see this with my video, it's a 3-minute video, and yet I'm having my friends in Spain contact me, and, you know, Spain is extremely, because it's a Catholic nation, it's extremely controversial there beyond anything that we have, and she said that she had an amazing conversation with her mother about it because they watched my video together. When we share our personal stories, how far can they go? And it's limitless.
Mm-hmm. I was struck that you publicly identified where you worked and where you had your abortion, because you had your abortion at the clinic where you worked. Mm-hmm. And I know you obviously got their permission, but have there been repercussions for the specific clinic that you name in your film?
The repercussions happened in terms of the week that my article came out. They got, a handful, not a ton, but a handful of strange callers of people, you know, calling to say hurtful things or whatever, and in which they had a procedure down of how they would handle that. But otherwise, the thing that I was most impressed with is how many people called the clinic to support us, to support me and support what I was doing. And actually, a really interesting experience was I mostly did in-clinic counseling, but every once in a while I would work the phones, and which is where you help a woman schedule her appointment, and there's often counseling that goes along with it. And I remember, like, just 2 weeks after the video came out, I was on the phones, and this woman called and was like, hey, I'm getting an abortion there next week, and I just saw this video of apparently abortion. Someone got an abortion there. Is that really what it looks like? And then I started talking, and she's like, wait a minute, are you her? Are you the one, the video that I just saw? And I was like, yeah, that's actually my abortion. You're seeing it. And she's like, did it really feel like this? And so I was able to walk her through step by step what that experience felt like for me. And I also letting her know that that's just what my experience was and that her experience might be drastically different, but at least it's something to go off of. And it was a really interesting, wonderful experience. And I think experiences like that is what really moved me and motivate me to keep moving forward in my work.
And you are moving forward. You're actually no longer an abortion counselor because you're a full-time student.
Student, yeah.
So tell me about what you think is next for you, where you want to go. Because obviously you're staying within public health, and I'm assuming that we're going to keep going on this sort of journey with you.
Absolutely. Basically, I just want to do what I'm doing, only better. You know, unfortunately, because of all of the backlash that I've gotten, I've been on, you know, national TV and national radio and podcasts and all these things. The reason I'm going to grad school is so that I can say exactly what I'm saying, but I'll have an alphabet after my name, and people might actually take me a little bit more seriously. And, you know, to broaden my horizons and understand this very complex issue from different perspectives. And it's working out wonderfully. And I'm excited for Not Alone.us to keep moving forward and for it to grow. And yeah, it's all optimistic.
Are you a little bit of a celebrity, a micro celebrity on campus?
I definitely wouldn't go that far. I've really tried to not bring that much attention in terms of like, hey, I was just on CNN, guys, this morning. I don't think I'm really much of a micro celebrity, but I am trying to use all of the press and use all of the attention that I've gotten to spread the word. So for instance, actually next week, I'm going to be speaking at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington to their student body about this. And so I'm really trying to use the attention that I've had to keep moving forward and keep telling women that their reproductive choices are their own and it's nothing to be ashamed of.
Well, it seems to me also getting into public policy is where a lot of the action is happening right now. And yeah. I don't know that we could have seen that even 10 years ago, that there would be so much legislation and so much pushback at this moment in history. It feels like, you know, it's really coalesced the right and it's coalesced this entire anti-choice movement, and they've actually made progress, which is terrifying to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the war on women is a real thing that we're dealing with. And I think that what's interesting, though, is we've definitely felt it and everyone's been taking the blow, especially in Texas right now, although Texas had some good news recently in terms of fighting against House Bill 2, which is great. But I think because of this very medieval mindset that's going on right now in terms of reproduction, we're seeing a whole new wave of fighting against it. And I think that wave comes in the form of my video. It comes in the form of the movie Obvious Child. I don't know if anyone saw that, mm-hmm. but it's basically a romantic comedy about a woman and she just happens to, the main thing is she gets an abortion in it. And we're just seeing all these politicians start speaking about their abortions. Cecile Richards, Wendy Davis, Lucy Flores. It's starting to happen, and we're realizing that the only way to fight what's going on right now is to start sharing our stories.
And do you think what is going on publicly has trickled down? Like, I mean, the interactions that you had as a counselor with people, do you feel like when there's all this legislation and when we continually try to limit access to abortion, that it actually increases the stigma?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because it's saying that, oh, we're doing something wrong. Anytime a woman comes against an obstacle that is a state mandated thing, it reinforces the idea that, oh, of course, I'm doing something wrong. I'm guilty. Even the state is saying this, that I should not be trusted with my own decisions. And I am, in fact, doubting myself because it's so complex. And because people, my boyfriend is telling me that I should do it. My mom's telling me that I should do it. And no one is empowering the woman when we are taking away her access to health care. Like, So yeah, I absolutely believe that with each legislation that passes, more women are being shamed into silence.
Okay, we're going to take another break. I want to remind you, it's your last chance to call us and talk to us and win a prize. When was the last time you could say, I called into a radio show, I talked about abortion, and I won a fucking prize, people? Only on this show. Only on this show. 866-472-5788. 866-472-5788. I know you're out there, and I know you have opinions about this. You can also tweet us your comments and questions at Sex Out Loud Radio. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the future of abortion with Emily Letts. Stay with us.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We are talking with Emily Letts, and we've tweeted the link. Raymond, my wonderful associate producer, live tweets every week, and we've tweeted the link to both Emily's abortion video and some of the media coverage around Emily's abortion video. So you should definitely go check it out, watch it. It is a definite conversation starter. It strikes me that this is happening in a particular moment, and it's happening around social media. It's sort of one of the ways that social media, I feel like, can connect us rather than disconnect us. And we were talking on the break before the show about this Facebook group that I thought you could share with us on Facebook, right?
Yeah, absolutely. One of them is called the Abortion Support Group for Heart Healing. And it's one of the things my mentor actually, and it's a closed group, so you have to get invited to it. But it's a space, and I've never seen anything like this before, but basically it's a safe space where women can go on and share their abortion stories. And a lot of them is like, hey, I'm really upset. I had my abortion 2 weeks ago. I'm really upset. I can't stop crying. I'm having nightmares, but I know it was the right decision. Or I just found out I'm pregnant. My boyfriend is saying all these mean things to me. I don't know what I should do. And all these women will comment, this is my experience. You're supported. You're not alone. And it's just social media at its most glory. Like, this is what I've always hoped for social media. And I go on there constantly and write, you know, facts and experiences as working in a clinic, and then also giving resources such as Pregnancy Options Workbook, which is this amazing online workbook that kind of helps you put everything down on paper in terms of making your decision for an unintended pregnancy. But that is what social media is for.
And what do you think about this current pushback? I mean, where do you think we are going right now with abortion? Do you feel like it's going to continue to be cracked down on? Are we going, as pro-choice people, are we going to win this fight?
I think we can't not win this fight. I mean, the thing is that the idea of Roe v. Wade being turned over is pretty ridiculous, and I think even conservatives will agree that's never going to happen. But the fact is that we've seen a push, and it's getting pretty extreme now, and now I think we're seeing a huge pushback. And like I said before, that happens when people start sharing their stories. And that's, like I said, Wendy Davis just came out. Cecile Richards, the CEO of Planned Parenthood, just came out. More and more women are starting to realize, and this is exactly what happened with gay rights. You know, only for gay rights, people had to come out because of the healthcare reason, because of HIV in the 80s and 90s. They had to in order to access the healthcare. Well, we're going to start, if things don't change, and I know they are, and I can feel it, we're going to start seeing the same thing where women are going to start inducing their own abortions. There's no such thing as women who don't get abortion. There's only if she had a safe abortion or if she did not have a safe abortion.
I mean, that's another great point, is that people have had unintended pregnancies and have wanted to end those pregnancies for a very long time. And so the options here are quite limited. If we're not going to regulate it and we're not going to make it more accessible and safer, we are going to put women at more risk physically.
In danger. Yeah. When a woman doesn't have access to healthcare, they start self-medicating. We see, I mean, this is public health 101. People fix what they need to fix. And abortion is all it is. It's a solution to a problem. I mean, that is what it is in its essence. And my own mother, she actually shared her abortion story through online video for Not Alone. And she was in Germany when she had her abortion. And her first thing was it was illegal in Germany at that time. And she was having a hard time getting access to it because she eventually had to go to Austria. But she tried to self-induce with just like a saline solution. And she didn't go extreme. She wasn't about to hurt herself, but she tried different options. But then she realized, you know, I don't want to hurt myself. But I mean, I can tell you stories of women who've used, the quintessential, hanger, or also they used red rubber tubes. I mean, the history of women hurting themselves through self-induced abortions is terrifying. And that is, people like me are here, and all of the other pro-choice community are here to make sure that that never happens again.
Now, I'm curious to know, when did you find out that your mother had had an abortion? And what was that conversation like?
Well, when I first told her that I was going to be working an abortion, that's when she sat me down. And she had never mentioned, I knew she's had a miscarriage before, but I never knew she had an abortion. That's when she was like, well, I want to tell you something. And that's when that was only 3 years ago when she told me. And I was like, Mom, you never told me that. And she was like, yep, this is my experience. And so later when I launched Not Alone, I started showing her all the different videos of women coming in and sharing their story. And she was very nervous about it because she has a lot of, religious friends, which they're wonderful people, but very much against abortion. And she was so nervous about it, but I started showing her all these videos. And then she looked at me and she's like, Emily, I can do that. I want to do that. This is important. And she did. And to this day, I think her video is, I mean, I'm biased, but I think it's just so powerful. And the truth is, if I ever had children, if I ever had daughter or son, I would show them that video and I would be very proud of my mother.
Wow. What an incredible little side story to all of this. Well, thank you so much for everything you've done, everything you're, I know you're going to continue to do. And thanks for being on the show, Emily.
Absolutely. It was my great pleasure.
Emily Letts is working on a dual master's in public health and social work at the University of Illinois at Chicago. To see her video and others like it, including her own mother's, to post your own story, go to notalone.us. You can follow the organization on Twitter at notaloneus or US, all one word. All of these links and more can be found at sexoutloudradio.com. Click on the link for episode resources. You can always find me on Twitter at Tristan Taramino. Look at me. I got a little distracted. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, segment producer and editor Colton, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Matt, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America. If you missed any part of this show or want to hear it again or want to share it with someone to spark a conversation, you can listen on demand or download the MP3 by going to voiceamerica.com and searching for Sex Out Loud. You can also subscribe to it as a podcast on iTunes. Tune in next Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern for another edition of the show. Until then, I encourage you to keep this discussion and many others going on facebook.com/asktristan. That's also where your hate mail to me should be addressed. On Twitter, at Sex Out Loud Radio, and in your own life, take some time to talk about abortion out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.
Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.